As we get closer to back to school time for another year, for many parents is also bring your own device shopping time for students who need an appropriate device for school. So what do you buy? Have a look around the stores. There's plenty available. But according to new research from Microsoft, more than one third of parents are not getting any or very little guidance in this area. So they might end up buying the wrong type of device or perhaps spending more than they need to. And who wants to do that? Now, to talk us through the confusing pathway that can be BYOD, I have on the line Pip Cleaves. She's a teacher, senior education consultant at Design, Learn and Empower. And importantly, she's also a parent. G'day, Pip.
Hi, how are you, Andy?
Excellent. Now, what has been your experience with finding the right device for school?
Since about 2013, I've been on the BYOD path, and I've both as a teacher and consultant seen many, many schools go down the BYOD pathway, and as a parent, I've had to purchase devices for my own school. So I've bought the wrong device. I've seen parents buy the wrong device. I've seen parents buy the perfect device, and I've seen kids using BYOD in a really, really good way.
Oh, it's good you've had such a broad amount of experience there. So I guess as an educator, what are some of the common mistakes you've seen with parents sort of confused by the whole idea of bring your own device?
Yeah, this new research says that one in four parents actually purchase the wrong device the first time for their students. I think this is really true. A lot of parents, I see them buying, it's an emotional purchase. It's like their children telling them that their friends all have this, so they need to have that. And the reason we do this is because I know when I went to school, there was no devices in our classrooms.
Yeah.
I don't know how, if I wasn't a teacher, I wouldn't know how to use it in the classroom. So not seeing parents buy because that's what all the friends buy, that's an often mistake. Or buying because they listen to what's happening in a store. They don't think about the individual student needs. So thinking of your child and what your child needs a device for is the most important thing with BYOD.
It's interesting that you mentioned the emotional sort of push you might get from the kids. I mean, for example, I've just been through this whole thing as well, and I'm getting word back from school. Oh, all my friends have just bought a MacBook. I need a MacBook. And I'm like, well, here's the list the school has given me, and they do not require you to have a MacBook. It can be a Windows device. It can be a Mac device. So I think
you've
really got to look at that requirement from the schools, don't you?
Yeah, I equate it to buying school shoes. My daughter always wants me to buy the latest and coolest black shoes, and I know that the school's that's not right for her at school. She needs closed toe, hard leather shoes. So we always have that discussion at home, and ultimately, I'm the parent, I make the decision. That's exactly how I think BYOD should be. Parents make the decision knowing what their budget is and what their student needs in a school.
And I guess that decision has to be an informed decision. So, I mean, you've touched on some of this, but what are some of the common sense tips you can offer parents who are just starting out on their journey to find the right device for their kids?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Some research says that about 86% of parents will purchase a device that's up to $1,000 worth. I don't necessarily feel that's necessary. What we need to do is, before we go anywhere near a stop, think about, is my child a creative learner? If they're a creative learner, then perhaps you need a keyboard because they're going to want to use some of the software that helps them to play with photography and movie making and things like that. So we need a keyboard for that student. For the students who are going to head into the computing studies and IT industry, you definitely need some grunt in their devices for them. If your student is a gamer, and that's totally fine because outside school is what, you know, they game. So you're going to need a different device for those too. And if your student is still a young learner, maybe you don't need all this heavy stuff yet. Maybe you just need a small device that fits nicely in the backpack that they can take to school and use as they want. Whether it's a touch or not touch, that's a parent decision as well. So that's probably the first thing. Think of your students' needs and purchase from that. Think of your budget. I think we also still probably need USBs. We still have things being passed around on USBs. So having a USB, battery life is really important. To have a battery life that's going to last maybe 5 hours, 4 to 5 hours, maybe won't. I don't think devices being used in all classes 100% of time yet. We're still blending our learning. So 6 hours is probably not necessary, but as close as you can get to that, I think is really important. And nice and sturdy. You don't want something that the minute a backpack gets chucked on the pile in the back of the hall, it's going to crack a screen. So you need to something that's a little bit sturdy is really important. So again, what's your child? What's your budget? USB, nice battery, and a little bit sturdy.
Yeah, and you mentioned that, you know, knowing your child's learning style, but would you agree, for example, you've got to kind of mix that in with maybe what their personality is as well. I mean, not naming any names with my children, but maybe you've got one who's a bit clumsy or doesn't look after their stuff very well. You might want to lean towards, like you say, a sturdier item.
Correct. You can buy lots of accessories these days. So child number three tends to be a little bit that way. So I've just got a new zip-up thing for the laptop that the laptop can fit in all the time, and when classes are changed, it just snaps shut, zips around, pops in the bag. And I know a little bit, I'm a little bit safe. I also have a warranty on her device because I know things may happen between home and school for her. So it's, you know, definitely invest in those accessories and warranty, and then you've got a little bit of peace of mind. But I kind of equate these days laptops and phones are about the same price. So kids really look after their phones, right? They hate it when their screen crack and they hate it when things happen. So I find where I'm at and schools I've been at, the children really do look after their device so much more when it's their own personal BYOD. So I think, yes, buy your accessories, but know that they will look after it as well. And if it is a child that is particularly clumsy, don't buy the biggest, most expensive device. Yeah. Know that at some stage you may have to. You may have to just sort it out. Thankfully, we live in the cloud a lot more these days. Files are stored up in Office 365, so we don't have to worry about losing files when things break as much as we used to do.
Absolutely. Now, of course, along with your tips there, Microsoft has also launched a website to help parents out. It's devicesforschool.com.au. I'm sure you've had a look at that. What can parents expect here?
Best site to go for. If you're sitting looking at all the brochures around at the moment, just chuck them aside for a minute. Head to devicesforschool.com.au and have a look. We've got information there about, as I mentioned, the different learning styles, what sort of device needed for that. We've got a checklist that incorporates some of those things I've just said. You can print the checklist out, take it along to your local retail store, and make sure that you're buying what you need according to that list. Information about the latest Intel CPU, things like that for parents who really do know and understand devices. But for those who don't, and I probably do sit in that category, then this site will give you everything so that you can make a decision that is the best for your students' learning outcomes, it's the best for your budget, and you're making the decision, not the retail store.
Great. Finally, Pip, just a quick word on touch devices. This is an interesting area because from what I've seen, many schools are not making this a requirement. Your device doesn't have to be a touchscreen device. Yet, of course, more and more devices now have this technology built in. What are your thoughts? Is there an instance where you think a parent should lean more towards a touch device?
Yeah, as an educator, I'm really, really interested in the research around digitized styluses. So not your squiddy stylus that comes with some touch tablets, but your ones that have a fine point pen attached to them. And many of our middle, so our $500, $600, $700 dollar devices have a pen within them these days. Mm-hmm. And that gives your student, there's this, a lot of research around that if we can write on a screen, we can come back later and organize it and make sense of it a lot better. If we're just writing notes on a keyboard, and everyone's probably saying, you just write and write and write and you don't think about what you're doing, whereas if you're doing your touch stylus and writing, it's better on our cognitive load for our learners. So I think if you are able to, that's definite something I would definitely recommend parents do. It's not essential, you're right, but the research does say that it can be an advantage for students. So looking for those students in senior years, if you are investing in a little bit higher-end device, then that's a great device for them for digital studying and you know, for that blended learning environment.
Really good tips there, Pip. Of course, more help for parents is available at the website we spoke about, devicesforschool.com.au. And Pip, thanks again for coming on Tech Daily.
No worries. Thanks for having me.